Welcome, everyone. How amazing to be able to hop straight into at least one of the practices that His Holiness the Dalai Lama just gave over the last couple of days. We will do the Singha Nada practice today, but also I thought we could spend a little bit of time just going over what I've gleaned as the commitments from His Holiness. And also, if you have any questions, anything that you weren't sure about, or you weren't sure if you heard right, you can put it into the chat. And I will do my utmost to be able to answer, or at least record your questions and then find out from you, from someone like Geshe Zopa, that we can directly ask. So yes, Library Tampa Center, we have, we'll have today and then three more Sunday afternoons to dedicate to this practice and to go through whatever notes from His Holiness's initiation. And then there's also two Wednesday nights that we'll have in June as kind of following on from Eddie's Discovering Buddhism course on how to develop bodhicitta, Unit 10. Also on our YouTube channel, which has now got a whole lot more stuff on it thanks to all of our online classes, on the homepage of our YouTube channel, I've put up Eddie's class from How to Develop Bodhicitta, the Discovering Buddhism course, because it just happened, the last class just happened to be on the Bodhisattva vows. So it's a really nice introduction to the 18 main Bodhisattva vows, not all of them, but just kind of an overview, and also some recommended reading for if you want to find out about it. Also on our webpage, on the helpful links page, right down the bottom, there's a little list of really weird and wonderful helpful links, and one of them is called Study Buddhism, and it's Alexander Berzin's site, and that has some very authentic Buddhist information, explanation about the Bodhisattva vows, but put in a contemporary language, so it really hits home. To get started, I thought we'd set our motivation for this afternoon together, and we'll start with the prayer to generate bodhicitta from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, which is also the one that, especially the third verse, I mean, His Holiness says this every day, of course, but the third verse, he encouraged us, he said, to try and have the courage to recite this as much as possible, at least once a day, until all sentient beings are actually enlightened. But he framed it in this way of having this compassionate courage. So the prayer to generate bodhicitta. With the wish to free all beings, I shall always go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha until I reach full enlightenment. Inspired by wisdom and compassion, today in the Buddha's presence, I generate the mind of full awakening for the benefit of all sentient beings. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. So that prayer is in our gold prayer book, the FPMT gold prayer book, page 229. And luckily with the new edition of the gold prayer book, it's still page 229, which is great because it's how we start all of our committee meetings reciting this one. So I sent out a couple of emails riddled with typos and spelling mistakes, no doubt, but I did try and glean from my notes over the weekend, what were the commitments, the specific commitments given by His Holiness, and then the suggestions of where to from here, how we actually start practicing. Yes, Meta, that was the verse mentioned in the email, that particular verse 3. So I'll have it up on the screen when we do our practice today as well. For the first day, one of the things that His Holiness clarified even beforehand was that if you couldn't make it to the actual online live initiation as it was happening, then as long as you had a good motivation, you could watch it again online and it would count as the initiation. So I think that's incredibly kind of His Holiness and quite amazing. The main purpose of the initiation, to have a good heart. So if you have a good heart, then you can go back and revisit it online. So yesterday I noticed there was about 10,000 people simultaneously online taking the initiation. How amazing. And then as of before yesterday's event, I think that in between time, there was about 60,000 people catching up on day one. There's probably way more than that now, but just even that is something to really rejoice about. So on the first day, His Holiness mentioned first commitment and a third commitment because, you know, he's really fast, isn't he? So the first commitment has to do with the 7 billion people being compassionate. So that's our first commitment, is to be compassionate to others, in particular the human beings, and probably in particular starting with those closest to us. He didn't specifically mention, but the second commitment was to recite the six-syllable mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, as a catalyst to increase your compassion. And the third, to do with guru devotion, to see His Holiness as an emissary of Chenrezig, as Chenrezig in person or personified. And that really had beautiful nuance to it, because His Holiness was talking about how who Chenrezig is really is the Dharmakaya. But how do we relate to that when we are so disconnected and alienated? So how we relate to that is Chenrezig in person. And how does Chenrezig appear as thousand arms, thousand-eyed one, and as a human that we can see with our physical sense of sight? So in all of those aspects, whichever way we can possibly relate to Chenrezig. And His Holiness was saying about that too, that of course the real Chenrezig is the Dharmakaya. And then the emissary of that is the thousand-armed, thousand-eyed one. And that's how we to see His Holiness, as the representative in person. So he has this amazing way of just saying things in just one or two sentences that sum up the entire Buddhist path in a completely coherent presentation. Just really extraordinary. So this was the initiation in the lower, it's a lower tantra practice. And so even though His Holiness mentioned about how it's not so explicitly stated how to transform into a Buddha in the lower tantras, it's still there. And that when we are doing the practice, we don't use our sensory perceptions to do it, we use our mind. Then we took the lay person vows. So avoiding taking life, taking that which is not freely given, avoiding lying, avoiding sexual misconduct, and avoiding taking alcohol, which is a source of recklessness. I can attest to that. And actually, the first time I took that last part of to avoid alcohol, which is a source of recklessness, was with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. He helped me do it. And so then basically, if that was a bit of a shock to you to avoid alcohol, then determine to drink just a tiny little bit. Because our whole thing is to care for others, and how can we do that if we're being reckless? So the layperson vows, and then the bodhisattva vows, which he said are something really incredible, and they give you great courage and joy in your heart. So it was the full bodhisattva vows, the 18, to avoid the 18 root downfalls and the 46 auxiliary or secondary downfalls. So that was on day one. Are there any questions about those? Okay, so as long as you have the right motivation, you receive the vows, and what happens if you didn't? Well, see, that's the great thing, that you can always adjust your motivation. So we may not start off with the right motivation, but that's why His Holiness talks a lot about how to set the motivation, why bodhicitta is so amazing, how to remember emptiness so we get it from all different sides. And so because we're beginners, of course, we have to adjust our motivation, and that's part of the practice, to really enjoy adjusting your motivation and getting it into this really big scope. And that can be a work in progress. That's okay. You know, as long as you have one moment that is really sincere, and if that moment happens to coincide with the vows, spectacular. If it's just a little either side in linear time, don't worry about it so much. It comes in the practice. Okay, repeating about Chenrezig and the Dharmakaya. So when His Holiness said that he is an emissary of Chenrezig, you might have thought, oh, he's just a human being that is representing thousand-armed Chenrezig. But actually it was in the context of who is Chenrezig really, is on the ultimate level, the Dharmakaya. And so thousand-armed, thousand-eyed Chenrezig is also an emissary of that. And then His Holiness the Dalai Lama is an emissary or a representative of that that we can quite easily relate to. Okay, so if you couldn't keep up with the recitation of the Bodhisattva vows, so His Holiness goes really fast because just the whole ritual of just saying vows in Tibetan, that's not it. That's just to make sure that he goes through the instructions so the lineage isn't broken. But from our side, we're supposed to hear them however way that we do, but it's what happens in the mind. So it's not that he's expecting you to be able to recite in Tibetan that fast along with him. He's actually just like really quickly going through all of that so that we can get to the main part of it. So please don't worry about that. You might have also noticed that with the mandala offering, the translator's saying, we beat the Dharma drum to request a long life. Idam Guru Ratna Mandala, and there was no mandala offering in there. They just like the people on the screen behind in front of His Holiness would have been spending the last half hour elaborately making mandalas, and His Holiness just went yada yada yada, Idam Guru Ratna Mandala, and accepted our offering. So, you know, he just cuts to the chase. So the same with the Bodhisattva vows, but also don't think that you just take the vows once and that's it and maybe you didn't do it well. It's like where we grab onto them and then we keep taking them. And actually that was in day two. One of the things that His Holiness encouraged us and suggested us to do, that very first thing that he said was that you've received the full set of 18 and 46 Bodhisattva vows and retake them as many times as you can. And so His Holiness said that he retakes the Bodhisattva vows from Aryatara every day. And so the verse that to retake the vows is in how when we do Guru Puja or Jorcho, you know, the kind of extended Guru Puja, it's in there. So if you've been doing Guru Puja at Langri Tampa Center and probably various other centers, they will include retaking the Bodhisattva vows in there as well. So you'll become familiar with the prayer. I'm not sure what it's called, but on Monday night we have Guru Puja in English and we'll go through doing that. And if you email me, I can send that actually to you. And so that's the one that they kept on just reciting the first bit of it really quickly. So His Holiness retakes the vows every day. So what need to say that we should? But he said you take them every day so that gradually you become more and more familiar and they become part of your mind stream, and then they become automatic and you start acting like that. So it's an ongoing practice. It's not like, you know, you get christened and you're done. Just like with refuge, it's not that you take refuge and then you can forget about it again. It's something that we've got to do every day until it becomes instinctual, is the way I think about it, second nature. So that, you know, if you're just about in a delirium or in a coma, that's what comes to your mind. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. Maria, can we take the vows on our own level? Well, His Holiness gave the full set of 18 and 46 Bodhisattva vows, which means not just aspiring bodhicitta, but engaging bodhicitta. So we hold the vows and we've also made a determination to practice like a bodhisattva. So to put the six perfections into practice, that's our commitment. So instead of just wouldn't it be nice, it's like I will. And he actually said, His Holiness said, it's not enough just to say may I become enlightened. We've got to say I will become enlightened. So it was quite a distinction. So to that, then you just do as best as you can, but that's the level we're aiming at. Yes, definitely take them as a daily practice if you can. Fantastic, fantastic. Did His Holiness say how many mantras to do, Metta? Is that, he didn't put a number on it. You cannot turn saying mantras into economics. So he just said to, what was it? To give us the courage and to, as a catalyst to increase our compassion. So you can't, he didn't put it in a number in a box. He said, as we were receiving the mantra from His Holiness, to say it 21 times together. So usually in an initiation, when you receive the speech blessing, the mantra is like a subtle physical form, and it comes from the heart of the Vajra Master up through, out his mouth and across space to rest at the replica of your heart and like supercharge that mantra, a light on the moon disc at your heart, and then it resides there. It's like a very subtle form of the Buddha. And so sometimes it's just once, it comes across space once and you repeat with the Vajra Master. Other times it's three times. This time it was 21 times. So we certainly got it. The little booklet that you from the FPMT, I'm sure we can arrange a contact-free drop-off, Alison, no worries. We'll just sort out a time if you need a hard copy, because it's only like two pages. So I'm not sure there's going to be a transcript of the empowerment, Steph, because I went to the first transcript of the first day and it was just the preamble, like a news report, and the actual information from what happened, they didn't transcribe. So I think you might be able to go and listen again, and probably for the second day, I don't think they will have a transcript because it was the initiation. So it's just whatever notes that... here's another lost person, that you can glean yourself. So I took a huge amount of notes just because that's the best way for me to listen, and I didn't want to overwhelm you all with an eight-page email on emptiness and all the other things that His Holiness said, but I'll try and use some of those when we do the sadhana. Please overwhelm us. You're a sucker for punishment there, Robin. So the vows, then to determine to engage in the bodhisattva practices, actually practicing the six perfections. So remember, the six perfections, it's not ordinary generosity, it's the perfection of generosity. So it's generosity with the bodhicitta motivation. It's this big motivation. It's not just generosity of trying to help someone out during the pandemic or something like that. It's a really big picture one. So to engage in those practices and to say, I will become enlightened. And this is great because it means we can practice in words, and that's the way you'll end up feeling it. So don't worry that you don't feel confident by saying it. The confidence will come. Then the next... don't want to lose the question. The next commitment was the pledge of secrecy. And so because Tantra has been traditionally a secret practice, so as not to create confusion and then harm. And the pledge of secrecy is two things. One, to not talk about this practice with people that don't have the practice. It's kind of not necessarily relevant to them, or with people that have no faith, so who have lost their faith, or who, you know, have broken guru devotion, or, you know, lost their religion, something like that. So that one's to protect us, because if we talk to people that have no confidence in this meditation, it will rub off on us and we'll lose whatever little fledgling impetus that we have. So that's to protect ourselves, and to protect others is about keeping the secrecy so that we don't cause confusion. So that was a pledge, a big promise, and you've got to be quite careful of that. Then the Lord of the lineage, Amitabha Buddha, of the lotus lineage, so all the Chenrezig practices, and the secret name, our tantric name from this initiation, for all the online listeners, was Dharma Vajra. So when we retake the Bodhisattva vows and it says, I whose name is, I think that's where you put that name in, Dharma Vajra. Then His Holiness said, have the courage to repeat the Bodhisattva verse each day until all beings are enlightened. So that's that verse. You know, we said the three verses to start today, and in particular that third one. It's also when we recite the dedication verses at the end from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, it's also the last verse there. So have the courage to repeat this every day until the job is done. Then practically how to actually practice to discipline your own mind. So that's in practice. What do we do every day? We try and discipline our own mind. Compassion, wisdom, and patience. And a very interesting, not so much a commitment, but a request from His Holiness to practice to the very best of your ability, and then to share your thinking, your heartfelt experience with others, and it's your responsibility to teach them. So this means like, oh, wouldn't it, you know, often people say, oh, wouldn't it be fantastic if we had family Dharma club, because my kids really need to know about this Buddhism stuff. Well, His Holiness has just said you have to teach them. This is our responsibility, because we've met the Dharma. We have this perfect human rebirth. We still have it. We've met the Dharma. It's our responsibility. And He said to carry on from what He's been doing now, it's our responsibility to carry on. So it doesn't mean set ourselves up as a guru, of course, but it means that we can't be miserly about our own experiences, and our Dharma practice isn't just for us, it's for others. And it's up to us to teach others and help others. Especially like here we are in the middle of the coronavirus and everybody is in lockdown, enforced to stay home. And to a Buddhist, this is just like a rainfall of blessings. Hashtag Corona Retreat. How amazing. Now suddenly the perfect opportunity to stay home and focus on Dharma. But for most of the world, it's just been a time of an increase of mental health issues, because no one knows how to do it. There's no education even of just how to sit with yourself and be calm. Just that simple. No one knows how to do it. So you might think, oh, I don't know anything to teach, but you know a lot more than that. You've been able to be at home and tame your mind and take advantage of the situation until it almost becomes the best thing that ever happened, while everybody else has gone off the rails. So even that, don't underestimate your own Dharma knowledge. So Maria, does the Dharma Vajra, it doesn't replace your refuge name. This is your tantric name. So the refuge name stays as a refuge name. That's the vows and the commitments for this life. It's a this life thing. But the Dharma name, that's to do with the tantric practice. So it's like you've got another title, another name. If you have other initiations, so then I'm not sure, but probably the highest yoga tantra initiation would be the one that surpasses all of them, but it may also be the name of the practice that you have the most resonance with, or the practice that Rinpoche has said, do this practice to get enlightened. So the highest yoga tantra name, that one, that would probably be the one over it, but if you're doing this practice, then it's this name. So again, you know, there's no inherent name, right? It all depends on the circumstances. So the secrecy, the Dharma name, the courage to repeat the Bodhisattva verse each day, practically discipline your own mind, your responsibility to teach others, and then on a daily basis, meditate on the two things, conventional and ultimate bodhicitta. So it wasn't quite as clear this time. In other times, His Holiness, when he's given the Great Chenrezig Initiation, has said very specifically, you've got to spend at least 1 to 2 minutes every day meditating first on great compassion, first on emptiness to the best of your ability, and then on great compassion. So when His Holiness gave the Great Chenrezig Initiation in Sydney or Melbourne, it was winter in Australia, that was part of the commitment, and he specifically said, this is your commitment every day for 2 minutes. This time he just said, on a daily basis, meditate on the two. And so what he'd been talking about was these two things of conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta. So I put a little bit in there in the email about the conventional bodhicitta, you're thinking of becoming a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings, and ultimate bodhicitta, reflecting on emptiness. And he had that amazing analogy of not just like the two wings of the bird, that you need wisdom and compassion, but also the two wings of the bird. Another way to look at that in this context is ultimate bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta. And then not only that, but we become like the great swan that leads all the other flock across the great ocean of samsara to the other side, the shore of enlightenment. So that was, as far as I could gather, what the actual commitments and suggestions were, what to stick by. I think we should probably have a go at the practice now. Were there any other questions about those commitments? And because next week we can go through a few of the other things that His Holiness talked about more leisurely, but I just thought first thing is to just get the commitments right. So anything else? Okay. So do we do the Chenrezig practice daily on top of other commitments? So His Holiness didn't specifically mention the Chenrezig practice as such, but of course that would be part of our familiarising with ultimate and relative bodhicitta every day. So if you actually want to do a sadhana as well, but what His Holiness said to do was at least the mantra and the verse and retaking the vows as many times as possible. So it's up to you whether you want to do the sadhana or not. If you previously, at a previous initiation, have a sadhana commitment, then yes, you still have to do that. But it's entirely up to you. And so what we got was the Great Chenrezig Initiation. So that's a full initiation into the lower tantra practice of the thousand-armed, thousand-eyed one. And then usually what happens at the end of a full initiation like that is that you get lots of other permissions or permissions to practice. And so one of those was the Singhanada Chenrezig practice. So that was an extra, and it's called a subsequent permission given as an extra auspicious thing at the end of Great Chenrezig Initiation. And so the Great Initiation is called a Wang, which means that you have the full permission to practice and to dissolve one's inherently existent I into emptiness and arise as the deity, as Great Chenrezig. So it means if you come and do Nyungnays, that you can self-generate as Chenrezig. So the Wang means that you have that permission. It's a full initiation, and what keeps you safe is holding the vows. It's like the road rules for it, the Bodhisattva vows. And then a Jenang is a subsequent permission. So what it's subsequent to is the big initiation. And that means you also have a permission to practice this one. Oh, Bron, conventional bodhicitta, please define. So that's like great compassion, and it's where we do all the practicing of helping others and manifest as Chenrezig to help others. But it is in the context of emptiness, so it's held by emptiness. Doesn't matter what time of day we do it, all the time. Don't miss out any time, Catherine. But better in the morning so that you don't interact with anybody or anything without this. Can we arise as Singanada? Now, in the Sadhana, that's not what happens. I think probably we could, but this practice is about purification. And so when we do purification, what we do is we kind of lessen the divine pride of being the deity so that we can purify illnesses. So I will, that was one question that I thought to ask Geshe Zopa, and I'll get back to you about it. But it's similar to like the Vajrasattva practice, that because the purpose is purification, if you are self-generated as the deity, you're not focusing on purification as such like that. So this is why we have Singanada in front of us, as a way to facilitate healing. So this Jenang in particular was given because of the pandemic, because it's particularly to heal disease, and also because Bob Thurman, Uma's dad, requested it, because he knew which one to request. Let's do, have our first go through the Sadhana, shall we? So if you don't have the Sadhana in front of you, that's okay. You'll be familiar with these prayers and you'll probably even be able to join in and at least understand, if not join in. So it's the Arya Avalokiteshvara Singhanara practice, otherwise known as the Exalted Lion's Roar, Avalokiteshvara, who dispels all disease. So I have a screen share that I'll put up to help with our visualization. So there's the lion roaring. And in the coming classes, I'll try and find out a little bit more about the iconography. But first, let's take refuge. So thinking that we're doing this practice, not just for ourselves, but for all living beings, including ourselves, but the Mahayana refuge is taking refuge for the sake of others. And taking refuge with a particular thought that we have a responsibility for all the suffering sentient beings. And we can lead them in refuge, going for refuge. So the simplified visualization, thinking that the Lord Buddha is in front of you with body made of light, and if you can, surrounded by all the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Dharkas and Dakinis, lineage lamas, Dharma protectors, all the different manifestations of Arya Chenrezig. And we lead the great multitude of sentient beings in going for refuge. So we can do twice in Tibetan and then once in the English. O Sangye Chedan Sogye Chonam La Chanchu Padu Dani Kyapsu Chi Tagi Jin Sogye Pe Sonam Gi Trola Penche Sangye Drupa Jo Sangye Chedan Sogye Chonam La Chanchu padu dani kyapsu echi tagi jinso ki pe sonam gi trola panche sangye dropa sho. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. reciting the Four Immeasurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. So making sure this becomes our main purpose, motivation for doing the practice. So by reciting these Four Immeasurables as many times as we need, we adjust our motivation. And then the special generation of bodhicitta. In particular, in order to benefit all my mother sentient beings quickly and more quickly, I must achieve the precious state of perfect and complete Buddhahood. Therefore, I'm going to undertake the practice of Avalokiteshvara Singhanada. So that's the extra tantric motivation. And then the foundation of all good qualities from Lama Tsongkhapa. So as we recite this, then think that the realizations flow from Lama Tsongkhapa to us in the form of light, blessing our mind stream. The foundation of all good qualities is the kind and perfect pure guru. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him with great respect. Understanding that the precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once is greatly meaningful and is difficult to find again. Please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly day and night takes its essence. This life is as impermanent as a water bubble. Remember how quickly it decays and death comes. After death, just like a shadow follows the body, the results of black and white karma follow. Finding firm and definite conviction in this, please bless me always to be careful to abandon even the slightest negativities and accomplish all virtuous deeds. Seeking samsaric pleasures is the door to all suffering. They are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. Recognizing these shortcomings, please bless me to generate the strong wish for the bliss of liberation. Led by this pure thought, mindfulness, alertness, and great caution arise. The root of the teachings is keeping the Paramoksha vows. Please bless me to accomplish this essential practice. Just as I have fallen into the sea of samsara, so have all mother migratory beings. Please bless me to see this, train in supreme bodhicitta, and bear the responsibility of freeing migratory beings. Even if I develop only bodhicitta, but I don't practice the three types of morality, I will not achieve enlightenment. With my clear recognition of this, please bless me to practice the bodhisattva vows with great energy. Once I've pacified distractions to wrong objects and correctly analyzed the meaning of reality, please bless me to generate quickly within my mind stream the unified path of calm abiding and special insight. Having become a pure vessel by training in the general path, please bless me to enter the holy gateway of the fortunate ones, the supreme Vajra vehicle. At that time, the basis of accomplishing the two attainments is keeping pure vows and samaya. As I've become firmly convinced of this, please bless me to protect these vows and pledges like my life. Then, having realized the importance of the two stages, the essence of the Vajrayana, by practicing with great energy, never giving up the four sessions, please bless me to realize the teachings of the Holy Guru. Like that, may the gurus who show the noble path and the spiritual friends who practice it have long lives. Please bless me to pacify completely all outer and inner hindrances. In all my lives, never separated from perfect gurus, may I enjoy the magnificent Dharma. By completing the qualities of the stages and paths, may I quickly attain the state of Vajradhara. So think that all the stages of the path as light absorb into your mind stream, blessing you. And the visualization of the Avalokiteshvara Singhanada. So in the inner space, the space in front of you, from the syllable Hri, arises Arya Avalokiteshvara Singha Nada. His body is white with one face and two arms and three eyes. At his heart is a white Hri on a moon disc. His right hand rests on his right knee in the mudra of granting supreme realizations. And he leans back on his left hand, which rests behind him on the moon disc. This is the royal pose, very relaxed. If you remember His Holiness, even when he said, when meditating on emptiness, to keep a relaxed mind, a happy mind, and a smile on your face. Avalokiteshvara Singha Nada's left leg is extended in the posture of royal ease. He is without ornaments in the aspect of an ascetic, wearing a Brahman cord. Half of his hair or dreadlocks is tied up in a top knot. He wears a lower robe of red silks. And the deer skin covers his left shoulder and chest. So this is like the insignia representing the deer, representing the incredible kindness and compassion of this particular form of deer. So it's not like he's slaughtered a deer, but it's like an indication of like wearing the colours of something. On his right side is a green trident with a white snake entwined around it. On his left, on a lotus, is a skull cup filled with various beautifully scented flowers. And on a white lotus that blooms by his ear is a blazing sword of wisdom. And his three places are marked with the three syllables. On his brow, a white om. The throat, a red R. And at the heart, a blue hum. So when we recite the mantra, beams of light are emitted from these three places, and they come across space and flow into your three places, entering your crown, heart, and throat chakras. And as the light enters into you, feel the powerful, purifying nectar light energy has purified you and all others. So as happens to you, then simultaneously happens to everybody else, all the sentient beings, especially those afflicted by the pandemic. And the light purifies, the light and the nectar purifies all obscurations, negative karma, spirit harms, and disease. Om Ahri Singha Nada Hum Pe. 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 Om Ahri Singha. So concentrate on the blissful light and nectar, the white light flowing into your crown, the red light flowing into your throat, the blue light into your heart, this light and nectar cleanses true suffering and the true origin of suffering, the mental afflictions and karma. All negativities and obscurations are cleansed and pacified. All illnesses, both physical ones and spirit harms, the neuroses, the mental illnesses and disturbance, completely pacified. All the dangers of untimely death, of curses or grudges, of unfortunate circumstances, of bad omens, of nightmares, as you are washed with the light and nectar, all these are completely pacified and purified. All the karmic causes to be harmed by evil beings or messengers of death, by perverted views, by gossip or propaganda, any inauspicious signs or circumstances, all obstacles, inner and outer, completely pacified. And also think of those that you know of and those you may not know personally, but all those around the world who are suffering in particular from illness and disease and from this pandemic, or the results of this pandemic, from war and disruption, they too are cleansed, completely purified with these three colored lights. And as you recite the mantra, then feel that your three places, your three chakras become glowing, harmonized, completely cleansed and clear. Feel that you receive all the qualities of Singhanada. Your body, speech and mind are blessed by Avalokiteshvara Singhanada. In the form of this light that absorbs completely into you, stabilizing within you. Om Ahri Singhanara Hum Pem. So we can have some dedication prayers. Couple of extra dedication prayers from Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Due to the past, present and future merits collected by us and the merits of the three times collected by others, may the most precious wish-fulfilling thought of enlightenment, bodhicitta, be generated in our minds, the minds of our family members and all sentient beings. And may that which has been generated increase. And due to all the past, present and future merits collected by us and by others, which do not exist from their own side, may the I, which does not exist from its own side, achieve full enlightenment, which does not exist from its own side, and lead sentient beings, which do not exist from their own side, to that state by ourselves alone, which do not exist from its own side. Then you can also take a moment to dedicate our discussion today, our sincerity and good-heartedness and our efforts at this practice to anybody that you know is, you know, ill or undergoing any form of physical or mental suffering that you have a karmic connection with. So just take a moment to think of all of those. All those also in your neighbourhood and in your state, your country, the ones that we have quite a particular responsibility for. And then we can have the Shantideva dedication verses, and then we'll end with the prayers that are in the Sadhana. So the Shantideva dedication verses I've put up here onto the screen share so we can recite these together. May all beings everywhere plagued by sufferings of body and mind obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. So I'll leave that prayer up there, and we can also recite the dedication prayers from the booklet.
Lama Sangye Troy Gyone Troy Chikyan Malupan Deyi Sala Golupan Chan Choi Sam Choi Rinpoi Shi Ma Kye Panam Kye Kyoi Chi Kye Wan Yam Pa Me Pa Yan Kon He Kon Choi Peo Pa Shu.
Then also please dedicate for one of our Langri Tampa Centre members, Deanna Sakuya, who's in France doing the 108 Yungnaes. They've already completed over 100 Yungnaes in a row, and so they just have a few more to do. Completing these under extraordinary circumstances during the pandemic, with many threats of it being shut down, and that Deanna can complete the 108 Yungnaes, and that she can get home safely, that she can actually find a flight to get home, and that she manages to get home safely, and that then she can come and inspire us about all of her experiences. So for the very best possible outcome for Deanna and all of those who are completing the 108 Yungnaes in a row in France. In the long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the prayer that fulfills all wishes, and then the long life prayer for Lama Dzogchen Rinpoche.
Oi Gangri Rawe Kowe Jing Kam Dir Pendan Dewa Malu Jowe Nen Chen Re Zi Guan Ten Zin Gatsoi Yi Sha Pe Si Te Pa Dui Ten Yu Chi Toni Nin Je Zun Dui Jam Pai Lan Che che sao ze gan chen ten droi gong Chan ai pe amoy ten zin gyat so la So wai dip soy she don lu tru sho Tui soy chan jim jam gyong gyal wei Ten sing kyon fell way con zoi do poison. Cho son ko way le mon toi droi. Fa da so doi che gon doi sharp ten sho.
So thank you so much, everybody, for coming along and sharing this afternoon with us. So hopefully I get to see you all again next week for the next exciting installment. And if you have any questions, please, you know, save them up and put them into the chat. We'll do this sadhana again, and I'll try and find out some more about the practice and share some of those things with you. So really wonderful to see you all. How fantastic. All the best.